Closing arguments began Monday morning. Nancy Hsu went first for the state and plodded through a recitation of each of the prosecution's witnesses and what had been said. Greg Saunders countered with an argument that not much at all had been proven by the state, that its burden of proving Dennis guilty beyond a reasonable doubt had clearly not been met, that this was nothing more than a case of guilt by association, and that the jury should find his client not guilty. Bill Peterson had the last shot. For almost an hour, he rambled on and on, regurgitating the high points from each of his witnesses, trying desperately to convince the jurors that his crooks and snitches were worth believing. The jury retired to deliberate at noon, and 6 hours later came back to announce it was split 11-1. Judge Jones sent them back with the promise of dinner. Around 8 p.m., they returned with a verdict of guilty. Dennis listened to the verdict in a frozen silence, stunned because he was innocent, shocked because he'd been convicted with such paltry proof. He wanted to lash out at the jurors, the judge, the cops, the system, but the trial was not over. Yet he was not totally surprised. He had watched the jurors and seen their distrust. They represented the town of Ada, and the town needed a conviction. If the cops and Peterson were so convinced Dennis was the killer, then he must be. He closed his eyes and thought of his daughter, Elizabeth, now 14 and certainly old enough to understand guilt and innocence. Now that he'd been convicted, how would he ever convince her he was innocent? As the crowd filed out of the courthouse, Peggy Stillwell fainted on the courthouse lawn. She was exhausted and overcome by emotion and grief. She was rushed to the nearest hospital, but was soon released. With the issue of guilt now settled, the trial moved quickly into the penalty phase. In theory, the jury would determine the sentence based on aggravating circumstances presented by the state and designed to get the death penalty, and mitigating circumstances presented by the defendant that would, hopefully, save his life. The Fritz penalty phase was very brief. Peterson called to the stand Rusty Featherstone, who finally got to tell the jury that Dennis had admitted to him that he and Ron had been bar-hopping in Norman some 4 months before the murder. That was the extent of his testimony. The two murder suspects had actually driven 70 miles to Norman and spent a long night in the clubs and lounges. The next and last witness expanded on this profound story. Her name was Levita Brewer, and while having a drink in the bar at a Holiday Inn in Norman, she bumped into Fritz and Williamson. After several drinks, the three left together. Brewer got in the back seat. Dennis was behind the wheel. Ron was next to him, and away they went. It was raining. Dennis was driving fast, running red lights and such, and at some point early in the adventure, Brewer became hysterical. Though the two never touched or threatened her, she decided that she really wanted to get out. But Dennis wouldn't stop. This went on for 15 or 20 minutes. Then the car slowed enough for her to open the door and jump. She ran to a payphone and called the police. No one was injured. No charges were filed. No one was ever convicted. But to Bill Peterson, the incident was clear proof that Dennis Fritz was an ongoing threat to society and should be put to death to protect other young ladies. Levita Brewer was the best and only witness he could produce. During his impassioned plea for death to the jury, Peterson looked at Dennis, pointed his finger, and said, "Dennis Fritz, you deserve to die for what you and Ron Williamson did to Deborah Sue Carter." To which Dennis interrupted and said to the jury, "I did not kill Debbie Carter." 2 hours later, the jury returned with a sentence of life in prison. When the verdict was read, Dennis stood, faced the jury, and said, "Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I would just like to say..." "Excuse me," said Judge Jones. "Dennis, you can't do that," Greg Saunders said. But Dennis was not to be denied. He continued, "My Lord Jesus in heaven knows I didn't do this. I just want you to know that I forgive you. I'll be praying for you." Back in his cell, in the muggy darkness of his little corner of hell, He found no relief whatsoever in the fact that he had avoided a death sentence. He was 38 years old, an innocent man without a violent tendency in his being, and the prospect of spending the rest of his life in prison was utterly overwhelming.